Before we sort of get any further, I'd like to talk a little bit about a partner with our show, Cloud Fantasy. Cloud Fantasy is a go-to daily fantasy sports platform for esports fans all across North America. Users have a chance to watch and win cash by competing in a skill-based single-day prize pool-based contest revolving around predicting the outcomes and a player's performance within a professional matchup. Welcome to a new episode of Be a Fan Podcast. My name is Prime. We are in the midst of the off season for the LCS, and so we're continuing on this track of inviting great guests to gush and talk about their favorite player, their favorite team. And to me, today we have a really special guest all the way hailing from Germany, Don. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it's remarkable how, I think we communicated through the Twitter sphere. I'll still call it Twitter. I don't care what Elon tries to call it. I pose a challenge out there. Who is a bigger fan than David Shinog? He's big in trying to pump up the LCS. And then you came in and just dropped a massive knowledge bomb on me about LCS and your fandom. So I am now super happy to have you on and kind of like listen a little bit to your story. Why don't you start us off by like kind of letting us know how did your journey to like League of Legends begin? Did it start with the game itself? Did it start right into the esports space? Walk me through first that, and then in the next step, we'll talk about why C9 specifically, right? So take it away.
Yeah, so my in general gaming story started out really late because my parents were not a big fan of like video games. They grew up with all these like negative stories about them. So I actually only got into like gaming in general in like 2014, 2015, and I started off with MMOs. And then eventually one day, while I was like browsing Twitch in like the end of 2015, Worlds was on, and it was like, and it blew up, and I was like really curious because I've heard about League before, but I never had any touch. So I actually started like watching 2015 Worlds, and there I came like across this incredible story of this like NA third seed that was like in relegations a few months prior, going 3-0 in the first week. And I remember like watching like the first day of group stage and then hearing Yamato being like so negative on C9 and being like, oh, they're gonna go 0-6, destroyed every game. And then they started winning, and I was like, yeah, fuck this dude, I love this team. Yeah, and then I actually went back and like watched the regional qualifiers, and then when 2016 came around, I started watching C9. I just, yeah, essentially immediately fell in love with C9 and League at the same time, and then quickly after started playing the game myself.
Oh wow. And gotta be curious now. Yes, Yamato, what does he know? It's only just like, been around EU, but they were super negative to us. I get it. What was he? Was he an analyst back then? Did he coach started coaching already?
I think, yeah, he was a pro player himself
Oh.
before. And then I think 2015, he could already been like a coach for Giants or something. I actually don't know, but he was on the analyst desk like a guest. And I mean, like in hindsight, the criticism is like totally fair. Like C9 was like the massive underdogs, but just like the way he like phrased it, like, yeah, they're gonna go 0-6, and then they went like 3-0 in the first week. It was just like such a beautiful story. Like they called it like the Cinderella run, and it was just like that up until, like the week two curse came.
Oh man, that's awesome to have that defining moment for you, right? That captured your not just your interest, but just some an energy that you want to root for because everybody like looked down on them, and they probably had good reasons to. But they made a run. Now you lived through a lot more of League of Legends than I do because I started in 2018. So you've seen a lot of I guess, positives in international events for NA than I did.
Well, yes, like as a C9 fan, you always had like the international events to like root for. But yeah, like as a C9 fan, you don't really know this from like nowadays, but it was rough domestically. Like from like 2016 up until they actually won in 2020, they've been in the finals every year and lost every year. Like
Oh boy.
it was crazy. Like I think it was like 4 years and they were in like five finals and lost every one. Like it was feeling like we would never win an AA again at some point. But then every year at Worlds, we like made the run through play-ins. We somehow escaped a group with SKT every single year, and then like made like quarterfinals in 16-17 and semifinals in 2018. So you always had like these, yeah, like C9 is amazing internationally, but you still want to see them, you know, like lift an actual trophy.
Regionally,
Like
yeah. Go ahead.
it's just a different hype moment for a fan when you're like, oh yeah, we did good at this event, but like it's much more amazing to say we won this event. Like to see them walk up onto a stage and like lift a trophy and everyone is cheering and they're like the confetti and the sounds and the winners' interviews. You don't get these things for quarterfinals at Worlds.
Yeah. No, that's true because even though they had this international success, you don't see them rewarded for something more tangible, right? More something that can showcase how good they really are because they keep, just not performing in the not regionally, but they were known as why people say like we prefer the second seed for any to go to Worlds a lot of time because the first seed always craps out. I don't know. Was that your experience?
Yeah, I think it was like always just C9. There was something about them. Like a few things I think helped was that Reapert was a Korean coach and he had like connections to the other Korean teams, which it was always said that C9 had better scrim partners at international events because of Reapert and his connections to like T1 and the other organizations. And I just think that the way like always everyone memes about C9 system nowadays, but I think just the way they approached like the year-long practice was always been more about like improvement based instead of results based. Like it was not like win now, but it was get good. And I think that translates better to like an international event where things are more chaotic most of the times. I just think the C9 way was always more destined to be successful in the long run. And it just didn't work out nationally for I don't know what reasons, but I think that's why it wasn't like NA's third seed. I think it was something specifically tied to C9.
Gotcha. And perhaps that was the reputation then before. So you saw a lot of the greats that I didn't get a chance to see. I'm seeing names like Hai, Lemonation, Bunny Fufu. So
Yeah.
those were the players.
Yeah, I mean, like you have like the OG C9 squad that was like Balls, Meteos, Hai, Sneaky, and Lemon. One very funny thing of trivia I don't see a lot of people throw around is that all of them won two C9 titles together, and then no one won anyone else afterwards. Despite Sneaky playing to like 2019 and Balls and Meteos, they all went to like different orgs, but they actually never won again. And this, and then the basically the second C9, Sneaky quits, C9 wins another title. So maybe it was like, you know, like the end of the era, like these players were only allowed to win two titles, and then as soon as they quit, C9 can win
That's
again. Maybe it's some of that. But yeah, those were like
you
the core of C9, like the OG boys.
oh. That's a very interesting. I wonder if Jack noted that kind of like, oh, we can't keep him long. We if we want titles, we gotta move him along. But yeah, I mean that the iteration of C9 that I knew was the era where Reaper was the coach and he had to bench like the full roster
Yeah.
because of. Whew, but we'll get there. So let's start with that first. Let's try to pump up like why people should pick C9. You have a lot of people who are maybe wanting to look for a team or a player to root for. So tell us a little bit about, what C9 has shown to connect with fans like yourself, or at least like how you connect with the organization.
So C9 has always went with like the Baylife approach that TSM established in like the OG days. They're like really memey and fun and hip and try to be, yeah, like make a lot of jokes, be a lot about, like just like the cool guys, sort of, like that approach, while also taking the game extremely seriously. I think these are like the two things that C9 does. They bring like results and memes. That's how always how I viewed them. I think a few points that you can look at is that players usually level up when they join C9. Like we had this like phase where we always took like the washed up TSM players and then made them MVP candidates again. Like most famously, like Sven Skarren, that came off a super successful stint with TSM, then he was considered washed, comes to C9, wins another MVP. Right? Or Sven was, like hated by TSM for his blunder in the finals. Everyone said he was washed, comes to C9, becomes the best ADC in the league again. Right? Like that is just like a trend with players that even when they like underperform in other orgs, they come to C9, they get onto the C9 system schedule, they do the workouts, do the book club, and then they, get like another chance to reach their heights. I think that is something that I really value about C9 is that it seems like the players don't choke here. Like we give the players the support staff to make them succeed, to make them express their best selves on the Summoner's Rift. And I think
Oh, absolutely.
that is one of the reasons why C9 is so consistently good, no matter what the roster. Like no matter if it's superstars or rookie, like we're gonna make worlds, with a few exceptions, but we're probably gonna make worlds.
Probably.
Now,
We're gonna come talk a little bit about the present right now, because little bit shaky, but overall, I agree with the sentiment. It has carried over over the years of C9, what they do, the meme, the fun. There is a fun component, but there's also a competitive and there's a winning flair about this team. And what I think you spoke really into is their ability to get the best out of certain players when other people are giving up on them, when fans are very quick to say a player is washed. But I think one of the highlights for me when watching this organization is their ability to also identify younger players and build them up. I know I wasn't a big proponent of Blaber, because I was very much a fan of Sven Skarren when he was with the team. But oh my gosh, Blaber, if not the best jungler, one of the best, like one of the top three, right? Best jungler in LCS history.
By the time we made like the switch from Sven Skarren to Blaber, I was already like I was really sus when we swapped Impact for Licorice. Like that was
Oh,
like the
true.
change where I was like, yeah, no, this can't be good, and it worked out. So then when we made the switch from Sven Skarren to Blaber, I was like, I mean, the last one worked out, so I'm just gonna give Jack the benefit of the doubt. And yeah, like it was just, I think this was like the start of where I really realized that C9 just. They know what they're doing with the player swaps. Because, like if you can like switch out superstars for new rookies and it still works out, then like you probably have a pretty good scout at that point.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that just that example, right? I mean, Impact is an all pro all the time, every year, and you're swapping him out. And then Sven Skarren, I believe he won the MVP the year before, and yet he still decided to switch him out because he doesn't
Yeah.
want to lose Blaber.
That is a bit of a different story, actually. So Sven Skarren came off of the very disappointing 2019 Worlds run. And then he handed Jack a list of like 10 players, like really, like basically 10 superstars. And he was like, I only want to play with these guys. And Jack was like, yeah, no. Like they were
I
like it was basically like get me Faker, And he was like,
Oh boy.
yeah, no.
Oh boy.
So
Oh, I didn't know that story.
yeah, Jack actually talked about it after they won in 2020. He actually gave like an interview where he talked about a bunch of very interesting things about the team, and this was like the infamous Svensk Gehren list was one of the things. So yeah, like Svensk Gehren, he was like, he didn't want to go onto like these budget rosters that like Sinan does do budget rosters. Like, yes, we have superstars, but we typically don't overspend. And yeah, I think it was like Licorice wasn't like a fully developed superstar. Like, he was really good like for an A standards, but he wasn't like a world class in that sense. You know, and like I think Svensk Gehren was just done with the I don't know, like obviously, but it was pretty obvious like he was frustrated, like he was competing with Blaber for a starting spot. Then I think he just wanted to like, yeah, if I'm staying here, I want like the best team possible around me, or I want to try a different org. And I mean, he landed on EG, and that wasn't a bad roster at all. So I think in the end, I think it worked out for everyone. And he didn't really go in bad blood because he actually joined us again later, I think in 2021, as a coach for a while. So like, if he came back to C9, he probably doesn't hate us for, you know, like letting him go. So I think it ended up working out for everyone.
And there's another player with a similar story of like being gone and back again, right? We'll talk about him later because he's still on the active roster. But so far, there's no dull moment with this organization. That's what I've learned, come to learn. Every offseason, there's something that needs going on that changes, and we're talking even like between splits, right? From summer to spring to summer, some changes will happen, Uno, at some point they continue to find success, and you just gotta give them a benefit of doubt, because after that whole fiasco where Reaper benched the whole squad, this team still was competitive, and it just shows like how deep of a roster talent pool they have, and I think the scouting is probably one thing that it alludes to how good they are. Now moving forward into a little bit, what I guess what was the after being introduced to C9, what was your next like peak C9 moment for you?
Yeah, it has to be the when we beat Afrika in 2018.
Oh, that
The
year.
quick 3-0 and like the group stage itself, like the group stage itself was another highlight. Like RNG just came off winning MSI and we beat them in groups. Like I think that was like the biggest international win since like 2014 when we took a game off of Samsung Blue. Like then beating this peak RNG in groups. Like this was it was such a like also it was such a good game. Like just Sazel outplayed Uzi so hard that game. It was like mind blowing. Like you really feel like, yeah, actually like when we beat this RNG we can win Worlds. Like that was just my feeling after that game. I mean they
Man.
reality checked us in the tiebreaker, but
Look,
yeah.
they were seated in a group of death. I have to remind you guys, they were seated with Vitality against RNG and Gen G in the group, and they came out of it, second place,
Yeah.
and then 3-0
Yeah,
Africa.
also what you need to like give a little bit of context, the Gen G was the reigning world champion. That was 2017 Samsung. It was the same roster, they just renamed. So we had like the reigning world champion and the reigning MSI champion in that group.
Jeez,
Like it was,
it was
yeah.
tough. And this was the first split, I guess, for a lot of these players. Golden Goose, got Golden Glue, Keith, Zazel.
Yeah, but they didn't play. Like it was just like the starting lineup again. It
Oh,
was like
sorry.
Licorice, Svensk Gehren, Jensen, Sneaky, and Zazel. Like they played, and
Zazel, right.
Blaber subbed in again one game against Gen.G.
Oh, that was, I guess they brought him along as the sub. But yeah, I mean, Smoothie was the only one that was not part of the main core, right? And Zazel took this place.
Yeah, I mean, wasn't Smoothie playing for a different org at that time already?
Is it? I know he was benched shortly before that to bring
Oh,
in
true.
Zazel.
You could have. Yeah, but let's say he's got the starting spot over Smoothie, I think.
Yep. But yeah, defied expectations. We're not going to talk about the semis. We're just going to keep on chugging along.
Yeah. But the quarterfinals, but like it was a 3-0. Like it was not close. Like,
Not. I
yeah.
think Afrika was also on the rise that year too, if I'm not mistaken. Our international, I have to remember, this was CB Max's team, I believe. In any case, moving along, the team just continues to make changes. I think they had a lot of run-in with Team Liquid at the time when Team Liquid had Double Lift, and they were on the at the heights of their the organization's on a streak to winning regionally. But they brought in Niski at some point. They brought in was it the other mid laner before they had
Perks was F Hersky.
Perks? Yep. So lots of names, but not like a consistent, I wouldn't say a consistency. Until more recently, when they have this iteration that I thought was one of the best team that didn't like wasn't pieced together because they're super teams. They had Fudge, Blabber, who was their mid lane? At some point it was an import from EU and then they switched to MNS. Then they had
Oh yeah,
Berserker.
the Diplex MNS.
Diplex, right? All right. And I thought it was quite. Which season was it? I think it was last season or
Yeah,
so,
last year.
that last year. They swap in Jensen in the summer and then they went on to win, right?
No,
Was that
that
last
was
year?
2020.
2020. Oh my gosh. I was kind of mildly upset. It's like C9 can get away with these things. They just switch out players. No need for this cohesity, but and they still find success. But hey, that's this team.
Yeah, I mean that was more of like a last minute solution. So I mean I can just like revamp the last few years. Like in 2020 they did like the LS experiment, where they
Oh,
essentially
that's
all
right.
banked onto him, brought in Summit, put Fudge mid, and brought in Berserker and Winsome. And like then the LS situation, it's a dark time. We still don't know exactly what happened, but like TLDR, the players said themselves in interviews, like I think Blabber and Fudge said said it like outright that they were like really unhappy with the practice. Like it was, they didn't felt prepared, they didn't felt good about how practice went, and Sven actually leaked that Berserker was also really unhappy practicing Karthus and other mages spot lane. Like he joked about it that Berserker would be like, "Ah, Shiva, I have to practice these dark shit champions. I just want to play Zeri," and like in the typical Sven fashion. And so, and if the players are unhappy with the coach, you always sack the coach. It's like a sports rule, right? Because it's easier to exchange one person than five persons.
Five.
Yeah. So and then they like played the split to the end, and then they sacked Summit and pushed Fat back top, and then got Jensen back, right? And that's a split where they still won. I guess you could say because they're C9, but that's like the point that I said. It's these systems, right? It's that they have figured out a way how to like get the best out of their players, and if they have good players and the good players perform, it's easy. It's easier to win because every team will struggle at some points. But if your baseline is still pretty high, you just have a lot of opportunities. Yeah, and then like Jensen was too expensive, so they tried to like they banked on either Diplex or MNS breaking out, and then fun fact, neither did. And now we got JoJo.
I gotta be honest. MNS, he had the reputation that his first split with the team, he seemed to behave, and that team looked good. I'm not gonna lie, they brought him
Yeah.
in, and that really looked like a super team. But then eventually his reputation just, proven to be true, and
Mean, I
still.
also C9 is, I mean, one of the reasons why I love C9 is that they even would take the risk on a player like MNS or on a player like Jensen, right? He's like the positive example where he had like a really bad reputation, but he turned it around. And I mean, if you can bank on a player like MNS and he can implode and you still make worlds, I mean, that's a pretty good sign that you know that your systems and the rest of the team is working really well, that you can still find success even in like, you know, like you bank everything on a head coach like LS, you know, like he handpicks everything from staff to players. It doesn't work out, and you still win a title that year. That's like
Amazing.
really impressive if you think about it.
I mean, it really is amazing. And yeah, and they can make it work. They would make changes, not just players, but coaches too, right? They had Max Waldo in after LS, and then Max Waldo was released after I thought was a pretty successful 2021. He was released,
He wanted to quit
he wanted
esports.
to quit, right. But then, so they had to find someone else, and it's still, this team is still at the top. Now, let's review the spring split from your eyes, from the fans of a C9 eyes. They had a lot of hype, right? That's not a secret. They had a lot of hype. Top two, no worse than top three compared to all the other teams in the LCS. What was it like for you in going from off season and then watching them in season after the break, playoffs? Let's walk us through your year so far.
Well, to be honest, I expected them just to like basically go undefeated and just win the entire thing. Like that was, you know, kind of my expectations. And then it was pretty clear, pretty fast that it didn't click as hoped. Like I don't think anyone would say that we have bad players individually. Like all of our players are like top three in their position, or should be in contention for top three in their position if they play well. And yeah, but they just don't mesh together well, and coaching staff couldn't fix that in spring. And you always had like you would tune in every day and like, ah, today is the day. Today they'll, you know, today it'll click. Like today they had a good week of they had a good week of practice. You know, they had 2 weeks off, you know, it's playoffs. For sure, now will be the day. And like the only time where I actually thought like, oh my God, I got it, was like the 3-0 over 100 Thieves. But yeah, then the next week was like back to all struggling C9. So yeah, like overall I never lost faith until they were actually eliminated. But yeah, it was pretty obvious that they needed some sort of change. I'm not saying personnel change. Like I personally love Mythy. I'm one of the very few C9 fans that loves Mythy. But I had always hoped we would get like a more sports type, captain type, leader type coach. Like there were talks about Ainero joining C9, which would have been something I would have really liked.
That would have been interesting.
Yeah, like just some sort of, you know, some guy that like rallies them up and be like, yeah, we're a team, we work as five, we're gonna beat them together or something, you know, like give these motivational speeches, like unite the team under behind like one banner. I felt like that's what the team needed the most. But yeah, now we got Reapered. I don't think he's that type of coach. I think he's more of the, you know, like teacher with a ruler type of coach. But maybe that works.
Hey, that we gotta trust Jack again, right, in his decision.
Yeah,
He's
I
bringing
mean,
it.
Reapered was the one person that managed to make C9 work without Hai. Like Hai needed to come back out for retirement twice because the team didn't function without him, and Reapered managed to overcome that hurdle. So if anyone managed to fix this team, it's definitely him. But yeah.
Oh, for sure. For sure. He can manage a lot of egos, which I think, you know, not saying that these players have like huge egos. I've seen like
Yeah,
many
but they
iterations
do.
in different. They do have an ego.
But they do.
They do. And probably a good fit in that estimate. Let me pick your brain on one thing. I feel for Vulcan. I think it's I've followed him since his EG days. And he was in C9 before then, one of the most
Yes.
expensive free agent, right? That was the thing going on. He joined a super team in FlyQuest last year, summer. That didn't go well. I mean, they missed playoff, right? If I can't say I remember.
Yeah, they missed playoffs.
And then they brought him back to C9 after this whole thing, his banter. I mean, I love it. He's a talker, very much. I can't help wonder if his mental is a little bit shot now. What noting that he's not looking like the Vulcan that I know from his EG days. What are your thoughts?
I mean, if you watch like the last C9 documentary, I forgot, I think it was like Above the Clouds or something is its name. They do like mini interviews where they ask, where they talk a bit about the players. And I think you can really tell that he was really down on himself after the loss. I know that he did like a boot camp himself. Like he went to Europe and stayed at the SK house during MSI, and then he like flew in early to Korea. I think he went like 1 or 2 days earlier, so he has definitely been like grinding like to work on his individual self. And I mean, the last time when he was like really good was also when he did like an extended boot camp with Swen before the 2020 split. They went to like Korea and played like 17 games a day, and after that they crushed LCS. So I do think, I feel like he's in that mindset again. So I wouldn't be surprised if he just like crushes LCS this split. But I definitely feel like he was down. And I think he went into like C9 with like, ah, like here, I found my last big success. Maybe I can like gain it back by just coming here. And yeah, I don't know. So I do. So my gut tells me he will be absolutely insane in summer.
And it's an interesting mix with him and Berserker. I think that was one of my curiosity of how those go together. Because Sven was a different kind of support, and one that can really manage Berserker well. This team feels like to me, or the spring version of this team felt like to me, like everyone knows they're good. They know that their teammates are good, but they don't have this wanting to tell each other how they want the game to be played, but they want to trust and let them do what they are doing. So that's why I felt like they were more scattered. And that was a surprise for me because the bot duo, which I thought would be more closer to you with one another.
Yeah, it's definitely like a too many cooks in a kitchen situation, I think. And they didn't have a chef, if you want to keep with that analogy. So yeah, I always thought it would be more of like a clash of egos, and I think it was more of a scared, like they were too scared to clash egos, maybe. And then there was this whole dynamic with like Berserker and Jojoupyun having a very different scrim philosophy. So I guess that also hindered their practice. But then again, like, I feel like sometimes as a C9 fan, I'm just spoiled because, like, oh wow, my team mentally imploded and we got third. What a terrible result. Like, oh no, we only got third. We would have only qualified for Worlds if it was Summer Split. So, like overall, like yes, expectation was to breeze through the LCS and get the first. But in the end, we faced hiccups, we worked on hiccups, and we made another changes going into Summer. We were third. So like overall, yeah, I'm not down on them. Like it was
So
okay.
the preview for summer then. Are we high on them? I guess it's not never as high as the off season prior to spring, but still, let me hear your thoughts going into summer.
So, going into summer, we are obviously higher on the stocks, definitely. So we got Thanatos for Fudge. I actually I want to spend a few minutes on Fudge
Yes,
because
yes.
I loved him when he came in 2021, but I really started to hate him with every split that got along. Not because of his play, but because I felt like he was getting complacent with his spot. Like, it's no secret that he's like really good friends with Jack, and obviously like the idea of his spot is safe because of nepotism is in the air. But it was just like he wasn't or like we got the feeling that he wasn't practicing as much or as efficiently as he could. And he also portrayed that, I think, to the outside. Like when Worlds was in an A and we had like Champions Q of all the Korean pros, he was 1v1ing Darshan. And no disrespect to Darshan, but playing against Zeus and King has to be better practicing than 1v1s with Darshan. And then he joined Champions Q after they got crushed week one, and he played a lot better in week two. So like all of this is like, why are you not like when you have all the Korean pros in an A, use that opportunity. Like why are you like quote unquote wasting your time doing suboptimal practice?
Yeah.
And like it all just felt like, yeah, like I'm a good LCS top laner, I'm on C9, and I'm gonna relax and get my paychecks. So that was just like the feeling we got, because like he was good for an A, then he was like substandard at internationals. So and the thing that's really frustrating is for me, now he is ranked 20 on Korean solo queue ladder. Now that he lost the spot. Like what the hell? Why didn't you do this in any other offseason? Okay, so that's too much. Now, I really wish that he gets another spot in the LCS, and even if it's on a different team. And I don't mind if he, you know, crushes everyone except us, because I think he's a really good player, and I think he showed the world, especially at MSI 2021, when he, like, single-handedly defeated all the Korean top laners. Like, he's good, but I just think he kind of lost his passion because his job was like so secure after his breakout season.
Go ahead.
No, I'm done with Fudge. So if you want to add something to Fudge.
Oh yeah, he was another player that warmed up to, and now it's a shame to see because I know his peak. He is a good player. It's just part of me wonders if this is a reaction to the fans wanting him out, or rather than purely performance based, or maybe they just think that, you know, he needs a break because, you know, he's either burned out or something. But you're right, that lack of fire, I guess, I don't want to call it complacency fully yet, but that it was not the Fudge that we saw last year, right? Or even the year before. So now he's being replaced by I don't know. How much do you know about the new player, Thanatos?
I actually had him on my radar because Damwon is my second favorite orc. And he was in their academy system, so I actually watched him win the Challengers title. I think I understand why he is so hyped, but I think most people won't. And this may sound a bit weird, or this may sound like, oh, I can judge players so much better than others, but I don't want to sound like that. I just think that a lot of top laners that get people excited or hyped are the top laners like the Shy or Zeus, you know, these like high mechanical, flashy players.
Right.
But
right.
To me, I get a similar vibe from Thanatos than I got from Nuguri. I think Nuguri is like a really underestimated player because he would go like 0-2 in lane and still win the game. And people are like, how does that work? It's because he is like really good at like all the things that people think don't matter. Like he will just gain CS leads and XP leads and tempo leads out of nowhere by just being a bit better at all the fundamentals. And I think Thanatos is exactly that. Like, I can see him getting solo killed by Fake God, but he will still carry the next team fight. Right? This is kind of like, I view him as a very, like, complete player, like someone who, like, he will teamfight better than most LCS players, and he will probably be a bit better in lane than most LCS players. He will, like, get these small leads, and facing him will be like death by a thousand cuts, kind of.
It's interesting that you did bring up Nuguri. I mean, he probably did learn something, or at least pick his brain, maybe, from spending the time in the org. But
I don't think they were at the org at the same time.
Ever together?
I don't think so.
Or maybe the org saw that he was similar. Maybe that's why they brought him in. But in any case, Nuguri is a very interesting top laner. He's not, like you said, he's not like the Shy or Zeus, the one that like wants to carry and you know, garner his own resources. But at the same time, he's not Impact, right? Impact can play weak side for like days. That's an interesting mix. I think watching Nuguri, if I remember his days at his peak, he was a very hard top laner to figure out. And so, I'm curious how this
like,
all fits
I just
in.
Think it's funny because like in the show match, like the first champion Thanatos played was Kennen, and that was like Nuguri's signature champion. So I think that's also where, you know, my comparison just got like, yeah, you know, it's so funny that they're both like this champion. Also, Kennen will be really good in summer, I think. So that's also something to look out for.
Right. Well, do you think they've done enough to beat out the, I would say TL is a favorite to take one of the world spot in playoffs, and the other team, I'm going to actually say it would be, who was it? Like it or not, I don't really like where the org take this, but I think, no, I wanted to say Dignitas, but I still don't think they're quite there yet. Yeah, so it would be, again, the conversation, Team Liquid, FlyQuest, C9.
I think it's really hard to tell. I don't think we gained a lot of information from the show match. Also, it's just a show match. Like, we don't know exactly how much energy all the players put into there. I think we saw signs of greatness, but I also think we saw a lot of, like, yeah, they're not finished yet. I mean, it was only a 2-week boot camp, which I think is a bit, like, why didn't you take all the time? But I guess, yeah, I get vacations and time off, especially after such a, I mean, in the end, disappointment is also good. So, like, yeah, I mean, only after 2 weeks, I think it's much too early to call, like, a guaranteed. I obviously have a lot of faith in them that they figure it out. But then again, I think this summer might just be, like, the most competitive summer split we ever have. Because, like, yeah, like, TL looked amazing. FlyQuest made promising changes. Like, NRG could just wake up and be, like, the summer champion from 2023 like they were. Like, Dignitas made a lot of improvements, and I wouldn't sleep on 100 Thieves. So we basically have 6 teams competing for 3 spots. It's going to be a hard fight for any team. But I have faith in Reaper, and I think bringing in Thanatos is a very good change. And I think, like I said, I have a lot of faith in that Vulcan comes into the summer split with a lot of fire. Like, he did an EU boot camp, like, visiting his friends and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I think all of these players have something to prove now. Like, they were a super team last split, and now they have, I don't think they have, like, the chip on their shoulder, but I think they are, like, man, we really don't want to be remembered as the second super team that failed.
Yes.
Like, they have less pressure and more motivation going into summer. So I really think they're going to come at the LCS with everything they have.
Absolutely. Excellent. That's my expectation kind of as well. And we didn't even get a chance to talk about my favorite player. Again, one I followed all the way from Ichi, Jojo Pyun. Listening to him talk in those interviews in the off season, I can sense that he's really we're gonna see another evolution. Because I you know, regardless of which team he's played, I think Jojo Pyun makes for one of the greatest player to come out from the NA talent pool, alongside with Blabber, of course. But I'm wanting him to be like internationally well renowned, and I think he can. Do it. Anything you want to add about this young phenom that y'all got to land, man? This player
So,
that,
I am going to say one thing about. No, I'm actually going to say two things about JoJo, and they're very separate from each other. The first thing, JoJo's swap to C9 has to be like the worst. I have to phrase it differently. The way C9 handled the JoJo transfer has to be like the worst PR move that any org has ever done for a signing of a player of JoJo's caliber. We got one like funny sketch with JoJo on a handy cam, like on the camera on the phone, and that was it for all of the offseason. Like we didn't get any streams or any more content or anything. Like basically from the end of offseason, we got like one shitty quality video, and that was it. Like guys, you brought in another MVP. Like come on, you can do a bit more content with him.
Wow, that's a good fair point too. And that's one thing that I did pay extra attention to this season is the team's like content that they push out. C9 is lacking, man. C9 is lacking. I love them, whatnot, but compared to all the other orgs what they put out, yeah, that's got to be one of the representative of like how little they've put in the works for that.
Yeah, and like the second thing, until C9 actually manages to find success with this roster, like to make this roster click, I think I just have this feeling that they have one too many MVPs on this roster. Like maybe it's just impossible to work with like Blaber, Jojopune, and Berserker at the same time. Like you always want to cater towards your stars, and if you have too many, maybe you don't have enough resources to cater to them. Like it feels like the same thing that Gen G does with like Canyon, Chovy, and Paze, but like done wrong. Like maybe it doesn't work with these three players. Like if it would work, it's basically Gen G at that point. Right? But like maybe it just like I'm just skeptical because I don't want them to fail. But like I have this feeling that it might be too much for C9 to also have Jojopune. And maybe we need like a Niski type of player, or we need more of the or like when Perks was there, we didn't have like Sven is much easier to work with than a Berserker. Like he's much more, yeah, I'm just gonna fill in the gaps, whatever. Like I'm just gonna make this team win because I'm Sven, I like winning, you know? Like he's more that type of player. And Berserker's like, nah, if we win, then I wanna be the carry. You know, that's like a bit of a difference. Like maybe it just doesn't work. Like that's my I don't want to say it because I want it to work, but I would be lying if I wasn't like a bit concerned that maybe like JoJo's ego is too much for C9 when we have these many established players.
So
But
that kind of a pattern for sure, I can see why it sits in the back of your mind because it's each time that C9 goes for these big name, it hasn't worked out. But when they were bringing along, Blaber wasn't well known, at least not in the large scene. Fudge wasn't well known, and they, Berserker at the moment he was just a challenger player. He never played. I don't think he ever played any LCK.
no, he didn't.
Very little known, and the success were still coming. But the moment you bring in a name, Lord, that.
I mean, I actually think that bringing in Perks was a big success overall, and it could have been so much more. But then again, he really wanted back to EU, and I mean, I can obviously understand it, but I mean, he didn't find success outside of C9, so on the other EU team, so maybe he should have stayed. You know, who knows?
He has not shed his quote unquote washed reputation. I don't think he is, but he certainly has not
I
done
mean,
himself much
Vitality
favor.
also has a really high reputation of ruining great players, so. Yeah. And like the funny thing is he beats EU's second best team when he was on C9, then he can't beat them when he's on EU. So it's ob I don't think it's a him problem. So yeah, but
Potentially.
I don't think C9 bringing in big players is a problem. I think it's just like when you have it doesn't matter which team you are, if you have too many big players that don't have a well-established way of working together, you need to find that established way, and that can take time. So I would expect C9 to like come out of the gates running. It can happen, but then again, we saw them. They're not that far into their boot camp, and they basically have a new coach and a new player. So a lot of their work from spring, like the other teams, can profit from their work from spring. And C9 needs to like reinvent themselves because, well, they are basically a new team in a way.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. A lot of exciting things to look out for, and we really thank you, Don, for helping us, get connected with C9, why you are a fan, why others should be a fan, and with the expectation upcoming for the season. I do have one last kind of very quick question. What is up with the C9 Discord? I am scared and terrified to go in there. I don't know if you've ever been in there, but it seems to represent what people known as C9 fans to be. Would you say that's fair?
I actually am more active on the scene on Reddit. I
Is it
don't
a
usually
friendlier
go into
place?
the scene on Discord.
Is it a
But like,
friendlier place at
what's.
Reddit?
I mean, the biggest thing that I'm annoyed with Reddit is what's the mythy hate. And like, yeah, I mean, in general, there is this conspiracy theory that a lot of newer C9 fans are former TSM fans, and
Oh
apparently
no.
we got like the toxic TSM fans. But yeah,
Inherited
I mean,
them.
like C9 fans are no strangers to complaining. Like the lost the off-season meme came for a reason. Like it was a real complaint before it was a meme. So yeah, I mean, C9 fans have become worse ever since we started winning again, because you're only a really passionate fan if you can, take your team losing every single year. Like it takes a toll on the fans. But actually, that's one story I wanted to tell because I don't think it's very well known. The reason the C9 system got established was because Jack saw the players getting demotivated going into finals weekend. Like in the 2018, 2019 years, the players that have been longer on C9 were actually like, ah, shit, let's just lose in finals and go to regional gauntlet already. Like they were going into finals weekends not practicing as hard because they were already thinking about losing. Right? So that's why Jack also brought on the like Navy SEAL mental trainers, and it's so focused on doing like physical workouts is to get his the mental of his players stronger going into these like big moments. Right, that is one of the big parts why the systems and like these constant workouts and sports and other activities come along. It's because players were because this constant losing in finals was getting into players' heads. So yeah, and
Okay, that's
obviously this and then tying that back to fans. Yeah, I get that. If you win a lot, you get a lot of fans that expect you to win more and don't accept you losing. And when you lose, they blame everything and everyone. Yeah.
Ooh, okay, so it is just a matter of not knowing how to handle success. So that's kind of what I'm hearing, but I hope it's going to be a bit more friendlier when I visit because not that they had anything against me. I just dropped a quick comment about what they wanted to share about Fudge because I was preparing for a show on Fudge's player of the week. And oh my word, it was just nothing but shit talk. And I was like, whoa, 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 he just won player of the week and you guys are already out here trying to hang him.
Yeah, like Fudge and Mythy were the biggest scapegoats last split. Like I told you where my frustration from Fudge came along. And yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why Mythy got the hate. I think it's just because he's the coach. Like he's done nothing but amazing work. Like whenever he is on the mic, he just says things that make sense, right? That are smart. And he's incredibly smart about the game. Like we know that from all of his previous years. Like why are you hating him? Like what is he supposed to do? Like is he supposed to grab the mouse of the players during the game? Like what the fuck?
That's what fans think, man. That's the
Yeah.
coaches need to go in there and mind control or do something, puppeteer them in some ways. But that's certain flavors. But I'm glad you are one of the more headier, one of the more diehard, and you've been with this team for a good almost a decade now, and so it's that is hard to find nowadays, and we hope that you continue to encourage people to be a fan. And what do you got upcoming? Like, how can people connect with you if they want to learn more about C9, or have some a great fan to hang out with during the season? Where can listeners connect with you?
Yeah, so I am very active on Twitter or X or whatever Elon wants to call it. Yeah, you can basically find me under almost every LCS post. I'm also pretty active in David's Twitch chat. You should definitely come along if you want to watch if for the watch parties or like his podcasts and stuff. Yeah, I won't be to the LCS live. It's a bit of a distance problem, but yeah, I'll be at Davis here watch parties on his Twitch.
Appreciate it. And guys, this is another episode and another fantastic episode of Be a Fan. So if you can take away one thing today, be a Cloud9 fan or be a Players fan. We just want you to be a fan. Thank you so much, Don.